Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of John, please. John chapter 19 this morning. The Gospel of John chapter 19. We are going to read verses 25 through 27 this morning. I will read aloud as you read silently. John chapter 19. Verses 25 through 27. If you're able, please, as you're looking for your place, would you stand to your feet this morning in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together. John chapter 19, and then beginning at verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to his disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. Let's pray together this morning. Father, thank you for Mother's Day. Thank you for this day that we as society has chosen to honor our mothers. What a great, great honor. Thank you for them. Thank you for these mothers that we have in our church and their faithfulness and love for their children and their duties and responsibilities. God, work in the hearts and lives of us as fathers and mothers and all of us here today to learn what you have for us today through the preaching of the Word of God. Please anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit for this to be accomplished. Use him to help us today. And Father, we ask if somebody in this room does not know Jesus as their Savior, they would trust him today to save them from the penalty of their sin. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated, we will ask that you take a moment and check and make sure that your cell phone is turned off or at least turned to vibrate so it will not go off during the service and we hear all the stuff from the 60s over again. So help us there, please, and check that. We would appreciate it very much. Do you know today is the 100th anniversary of Mother's Day? 1914, Woodrow Wilson, President of the United States at the time, signed into proclamation that the second Tuesday of the month of May would be Mother's Day, and for 100 years today, as of today, this is the anniversary of Mother's Day. Anna Mae Jarvis was a lady who wanted to reverence and respect her mom. Her mom died on May the 9th, and Anna Mae set out through her church to establish a day to honor her mother. And Anna Mae Jarvis spent almost her entire life seeking to have a day to honor her mom and to honor all mothers. She spent a good portion of her youth, as it were, talking to her pastor and then the mayor of her city, then the governor of her state, then getting all the way to the White House and getting the president to sign the proclamation to declare this day Mother's Day. Not long after that, Anna Mae Jarvis tried to undo the wrong of Mother's Day. They turned it into a commercial enterprise, as everybody does these days. She went speaking against that. You know, Anna Mae Jarvis spent her rest of her entire life speaking out against the commercialization of Mother's Day. She was for Mother's Day. She just felt like you give her a card and a box of candy and that's it. There's got to be more to it than that for the mother who brought you into this world. And she wanted it to be something special for moms. Do you know Anna Mae Jarvis never married and she never became a mother? It's a day to think about mom. It's a day to respect our mothers. It is a day to honor them. I haven't preached that message here in many years, but I have a sermon on it called The Sin of Mother's Day. And the only thing that's wrong with Mother's Day is we one day out of the year do something special for mom and then ignore her the other 364 days. That's the sin of Mother's Day. Mom should be honored all the time. We read the passage this morning of the cross. In John chapter 19, Jesus is on the cross. He has been stripped naked and beat like an animal and nailed to the cross as a criminal, though he was not a criminal. The suffering of man's penalty and punishment for his sin is being placed upon Jesus. In John chapter 19, we read a moment ago, he is at the moment of his greatest suffering. They've driven nails through his hands and through his feet. They crossed the ankles and bent them and then drove a spike down through his ankles. And for every breath he takes, he has to pull himself up for every breath. They beat him in such a way that the blood flowed from his body to weaken him so he would basically just hang there and suffocate. But that's not how Jesus died. Jesus died by giving his life. But every word he will speak and everything he will say, and he'll make seven statements from the cross, every one of them has to be made through a great time of suffering in his life. He'll have to pull himself up for the breath that he takes, say something, and then down again. And pull himself up and take a breath, say something, and then down again. There are three individuals Jesus paid attention to when he was on the cross. One of the thieves next to him, Jesus, in the moment of his greatest suffering, turns to that thief. And that thief on that cross trusted Christ as his Savior and joined Jesus in heaven not long after that. In John chapter 19 that we read just a moment ago, at the foot of the cross was his mother Mary, two other godly ladies named Mary, and one of the disciples, one of the 12. His name is John, the writer of this particular book here. And Jesus paid a particular attention to John and to his mom. And he made the simple statement here in John chapter 19 and verse 26. He spoke to his mother and said, "Woman, behold thy son." Now, I would not recommend that you'd call your mother woman. My mother was a little 2x4 squirt Texan. And if you said anything to her but mama, she'd let you know about it. I assure you. But he wasn't being disrespectful to his mother. His role as her son on this earth was about to change. So he said, "Woman, behold thy son." Now listen, people. Every breath is suffering and struggle for Jesus. But in this moment, he pays particular attention to his mom. And then he turns to John and he says, "John, behold thy mother." He made sure she was taken care of before he went back to heaven. It's the statement, "Behold thy mother," that I would like us to take this morning. Now I would assure you this morning, we all have a mother. Most definitely. But I will also assure you this. Your life in this world will never be right until you're right with your mother. Now, the Bible speaks of mother and father, and we'll cover that on a Father's Day message. But in particular, I want to talk about that this morning. You know, there are a lot of things in our society today that we attribute to just societal issues. People's problems in their own lives and struggles they have, et cetera, et cetera. I do believe this. Since God created the family, God created marriage. God made a man and God made a woman, and he put those two people together. That's God's idea of marriage. That's the way it should be left, a man and a woman. And God put them together, and he put them together for the purpose of having a marriage and a family. And that marriage and family that God created, ladies and gentlemen, would become the foundation and the basis for society. Now listen carefully. Do you understand this morning that God's idea of what's right about society would be out of the home and the family? Now this morning I'm going to have you turn to another passage of Scripture. In fact, let me do that right now. Go to Ephesians chapter 6 this morning, please. And as you're turning there, just hold your place and then listen very carefully as you do. I believe that a lot of things that are not right about us in our hearts and in our lives are not related to the failures of our parents or the things that didn't happen that should have happened. I believe a lot of things that are not right about us in our hearts and our lives simply have to do with us doing what the Bible calls us to do, which is to honor your father and your mother. Now, I want to explain to you what that means in a moment, so I want you to listen to me very carefully. I guarantee we already got fences going up this morning and walls going up this morning saying, "Well, if you knew the mother that I had, you'd understand why I got a problem in my life. And it's all about my mother." I say unto you this morning that if we heed the admonition of honoring your mother and your father, as the Bible tells us to do in Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll do what Jesus did here when he said, "Behold thy mother." And if we'll take this morning, I believe it'll do something more than just cause us to have a Mother's Day. It'll cause us to be right about her. Now look at me this morning. My mother was a drunk. My dad was a Baptist preacher who ran off with one of the women in the church. And she turned to drink and became a drunkard. For almost all of my childhood and a good portion of my adult life, all I ever knew about my mother as far as her character and her conduct was that my mother was a drunk. As a kid growing up in her house when she remarried, I don't remember ever seeing my mother pass a day without liquor in her hand. Not one day. She went to work every day. Worked 8 to 10 hours a day, came home, and at night would make us a meal and then drink and get up the next morning and go to work. And Monday through Friday and sometimes Saturdays when she worked, I never saw my mother miss a day's work. Never heard her call in sick. Not one time. By the way, 92% of people who are drunkards, alcoholics, go to work every day and work 40 hours a week. But I never saw my mother where she didn't drink. Never. Not until, oh my goodness, probably the last 5-10 years of her life that I ever see where she put liquor down. My mother was a drunk. Now please listen this morning. This is not an Oprah session. I just want you to hear what I have to say today. When the Bible talks about honoring your mother and your father, he doesn't put guidelines, he doesn't put restrictions on that. Honor your good mother, honor your good father, honor your perfect mother, honor your perfect father. Didn't say that. So let's take it this morning. When Jesus said, "Behold thy mother," what is he doing? He's honoring his mother. At the greatest moment of human history, where Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is becoming the Savior that we need. And my friend, this morning, he is the Savior. There is no other. What he will suffer and endure means Jesus, and Jesus alone is the hope of salvation. Nobody or nothing else. You and I, to be saved, to have forgiveness and salvation, must be trusting the payment that Jesus made on the cross for our salvation and nothing else. Or we're not saved. We're not going to heaven. So this is the greatest moment in human history. And in that great moment, Jesus pauses to honor his mother and say, "Mom, you go with John now, and John, behold thy mother." In honoring her, he was simply honoring her for who she was. Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. Look at the passage, please. The Bible says this. Would you notice it carefully? Hebrews chapter 6, and look at verse number 1. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." I want you to notice verse 2. It says, "Honor thy father and thy mother," which is the first commandment with promise. But it doesn't stop there. Look at the next verse. "That it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth." You know who it benefits to honor your mother? It benefits you. It does not say honor your perfect mother. Honor in the Bible does not mean you accept everything that they did. No one is going to go through this life and get out of this life with a perfect mom. We're not going to have that. I didn't have one. You didn't have one. So, well, you didn't, Pastor Johnson, because she was a drunkard. That has nothing to do with my honor for my mother. To honor them means to treat them for the respect of which they are worthy. When he said, "Behold thy mother," he was honoring her for just for the simple fact that she was his mother. Now, Mary was more than that, as we'll see in a moment. But my friend, you and I today, regardless of what kind of situation you had with your mom, whether she was there for you or not, I'm sick and tired of hearing that statement. "Oh, that's a good friend because they're always there for me." How selfish is the concept? If they're not there for you, then they're not a good friend. Is that right? Whatever happened to us being there for them? When was the last time you heard somebody say, "Boy, I'll tell you something, that's a good, my mother was a wonderful mother because I was always there for her"? It's never that way. We qualify by whether or not they did what we thought they should, or they were perfect enough, or good enough, or sinless enough, or flawless enough. I'm not making excuses for the wrongs of our people. I wish my mother would have taken us out of that childhood. And when she remarried the man after my father, this guy was a drunk and a jerk, and he beat us when we were children. We had a horrible childhood. She should have put us in the car and took us away from all of that. She had a flaw, and it was a major flaw. But some of us will spend the rest of our life, listen now, crippled by the flaws of our parents, and use that even as an excuse to go mess up our lives. "Well, I didn't have this." They're even telling us now that criminals who commit heinous and horrible crimes against society, if they had poor parenting, that the kid has some kind of, I don't even know what the disorder is now, anger disorders, because their mother wasn't there for them when they were little. Their father didn't play catch with them in the backyard. The mom put a diaper on too tight when they were little. And we got all these excuses for stuff that happens. That doesn't belittle the wrong that they did. But you listen to me. Jesus said, "Behold thy mother." Honor your father and your mother, the Bible says, that it may be well with you. Your life is never going to be right until you get this thing right about who you are, your mother, and your relationship with her. It will be well with thee if it is, if you honor her. She was your mother. She brought you into this world. As my little Texas mom would say, if you don't behave, Michael Ray, I'm going to send you out of this world. See, I can't find any reason to honor my mom. Now, friend, look at me this morning. No wonder you got a pinched up soul. No wonder you're mad at this world. Don't you understand? Look at me. Don't you understand God did not empower your mother to make your life right? He said it'll be well with you if you honor your mother. Show her the respect for which she is worthy. If all I ever think about in my mother when I think of her is that fact that she was a drunkard, then that would be a huge mistake, because she was much more than that. Jesus said, "Behold thy mother." He honored her for who she was, his mother. Now let me ask you a question this morning. How are you doing with your mom today? I understand sometimes mothers' lives are such that we can't. I did not spend the last 30 years of my life close to my mom. It wasn't my choice, it was hers. I would not take my children and subject them to the life that she continued to lead. I couldn't do that for my children's sake. If she had left some of that, at least to some degree, make it different so my kids would not have known that, then it would have been a different situation. But she did not. She made that choice. So I had, for the sake of my children, to step back from that, to protect them. I was criticized by my family. Of course, being a preacher, they say, "Oh, it's because you're a Baptist preacher, son." It had nothing to do with that. It had everything to do with the fact I did not want my kids to see what I saw when I grew up as a child. I didn't want them to disparage my mother for it. And I didn't want them to see that life. My kids never knew that life. So I had to step back some. But you look at me. Does not mean I didn't love her. Does not mean I do not honor her. Show her the respect that she deserves. She's in heaven listening to me this morning. But it'll never be well with you if you're not right with your mom. Are you listening to me? Because the Bible says it's so. In fact, it will shorten your life on this earth, that thou mayest live long on this earth. Behold thy mother. He honored her for who she was. Behold thy mother. He honored her for what she taught him. You see, you have to understand, Jesus is the Son of God. Born into this life, but born into this life as a man who was still God, but still a man. In other words, he had to grow up as a child and be taught what the Bible said and be taught what he needed to know. He grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man, Luke chapter 1 says. That means someone had to teach him. And did you know what? We have no record of the Bible ever telling us Jesus ever went to school a day in his life. I'm sure he did, but I do know this. Jesus grew up knowing who he was. Jesus grew up knowing what the Bible taught. He's 12 years old and he's sitting in a school of law where people study the Word of God constantly. And Jesus asked them questions and answered their questions, and they marveled at the knowledge that he had. And do you know why? Because his mom taught him the Bible. What amazes me about the whole thing of Jesus coming into this world, virgin born, Son of God, planted miraculously by the work of the Holy Spirit in the virgin womb of Mary, miraculous birth, miraculous conception, miraculous life, all of it, God would put his Son Jesus Christ on this earth in a family to protect him. And it would be his mother who would teach him all of this. I don't recall in my childhood my mother ever teaching us anything from the Bible. I don't recall her ever taking us to church. My mother was raised a Jehovah's Witness. When she met my dad in high school, she got saved and left that religion. So she had a Bible background, but I don't remember ever teaching us the Bible. I do remember she taught us a lot of things, though. So, yeah, I taught you how to drink. I did. I tasted my first liquor when I was a boy. when a little kid, when a glass of beer and tomato juice sitting on a counter one day, and I picked it up and tasted that. I smoked my first cigarette before I was 7 years of age, started stealing as a child. She didn't teach me any of that. You know what she taught me? She taught me how to work. See, I thought everybody lived like I lived when I was a kid, where your parents drank at night, went to work every day. I thought that's how everybody's life was. I didn't know any different. And I won't go into the whole story, but I went down to a buddy's house one morning to pick him up for school on the way to school, and his mom answered the door, and it looked like one of those episodes from Leave It to Beaver. She had an apron on and dress and all that, and she's standing there, and I said, "Can Billy go to school?" She said, "You want some breakfast?" I said, "Yeah." So I went in there, we sat at the table. She had the table set with little cups, two cups, a little short one and a tall one. I thought, two cups? Napkin folded, a little paper napkin with a fork on and a plate, and she's over there cooking breakfast, and I couldn't figure out what the two cup thing was about. She said, "You want some juice?" And I said, "Sure." And I put the big glass out. She goes, "No, the other one." And I go, "Oh, that's the juice one." And she put juice in there and then poured milk in the other cup and made breakfast. And I sat at the table and I looked around. The house was clean. There's no drunk stepfather laying on the couch, no busted furniture. It wasn't like that in his house. And I thought, "What is this?" I thought it was like a TV show or I was dreaming or something. I had no idea. I had no idea anybody lived differently than I did. None whatsoever. I thought everybody's house was like my house, with busted furniture and a mom coming to the table in the morning with a big black eye and another tooth knocked out laying on the floor in the kitchen. I thought everybody lived like that. I didn't know any different than that. But I thought everybody worked because that's what we did. And Saturday was house cleaning day and we cleaned the house. Took it all apart and cleaned it. Hey, we lived in a drunkard's home. We didn't live like pigs. I was visiting somebody one day, a single father and a couple teenage daughters at their house, and the house is just filthy. These girls are sitting around watching television and videos and stuff like that. There was a vacuum cleaner over there in the corner with cobwebs on it. I went to sit down on the couch, and I thought, "Man, that thing's alive. I ain't sitting down over there." I looked over the vacuum cleaner. I said, "Does that work?" She goes, "Yeah." And I go, "Turn it on." She turned it on. Dust come flying out of that thing. I said, "Hey, girls, look at me. Clean this house up. This is terrible. You need to clean this place." You say, "Pastor Johnson, that was very..." Hey, I had a drunkard mama, and we had to live in a clean house. They taught me, listen, my mother taught me things that are very important. She taught me to have clean underwear on in case I got in a wreck. I've been in wrecks. They never asked me about my underwear. She did some things that obviously shouldn't have been done, obviously. She taught me to do the right thing. She spanked me when I didn't. That wasn't child abuse, by the way, then or now. My mother gave me my sense of humor, my dose of sarcasm, which you detect every so often. I got that from my mother. Some of the toughest times of her life, she could somehow find some kind of joy in things. Behold thy mother. Honor her for what she taught you that's right. Now here's what we do. We spend our whole life listing all the wrong stuff. What she shouldn't have done, what she shouldn't have been, where she should have been, what she should have done that she didn't do, what she didn't do that she should have. And we got all the list of stuff that goes down through life. Excuse me, Jesus didn't have a perfect mother either. But he honored her for what she did teach him. You just understand what honoring your mother means now. Are you getting the picture here? You're going to spend the rest of your life, "Woe is me," and throw your life in the toilet and pull the handle down and flush it away because of your mother? Or you're going to stand up and say, "You know what? There were some things she did teach me that were right. Because I assure you she did. You got the sense to make it this far in life, and you go a lot further if you quit blaming your mother for all the flaws and start honoring her for the things she did teach you that she should have." And Jesus said, "Behold thy mother," because he honored his mother because of what she believed. It says in verse number 25 in John 19, it says, she stood by the cross. Nobody believes in you like your mom. It's unbelievable, isn't it? I was kidding with the folks in my class this morning how so many of these parents, and it's usually the mom, who thinks their children are so brilliant. I said, well, you don't understand how brilliant my child is, Pastor Johnson. Oh, I understand. Yeah. Yeah. Scored in the top 5th percentile in going to lunch and recess. Yeah, I got that part. Nobody stand by you like your mom will. Nobody. And nobody will love on you, care for you, and support you like your mother will, and whoop you like a redheaded stepchild when it's necessary. Nobody like your mom. I love my mom's spankings. She had the best ones. My stepfather was an idiot. Now, he was a drunk. He just beat you. But my mother would take a fly swatter. Now, think about that. To spank you with a fly swatter. You can't hardly kill a fly with one of them stupid things. And she would spank me with a fly swatter. And flail away and cry. Oh, Michael Ray, I don't want to have to do this, but you got to come and do your son, so bend over. She'd flail away on us. I mean, and cry and cry. And we'd always go, it's okay, Mom, it'll be over in a minute. It'll be all right. These are the wire mesh fly swatters that just come apart and look like you had Tina Turner on the end of a stick. I mean, a big poofy looking thing up there. She just flail away and cry and cry and cry. Don't never make me have to do this again, son. I know, Ma, I can't take it. You're crying so hard. It'll be all right. Don't worry about it. I preached to mothers in prison before who were never going to step outside the bars of that prison. And when they would talk to me, they'd say, please go see my son. Please see him. Try to help him out. She said, I'll never get to see him except through bars again. Please go see my son. Jesus had a mom who, when everybody else was hurling and spitting upon him and cursing him, he had a mom who sat right there and stood at the foot of the cross. And the Bible does not say she sat at the foot of the cross. She stood at the foot of the cross. Now, you know what that means, don't you? When they spit on him, they spit on her. She had to listen to everything said about her son, every word, but she stood by the cross. I'm not saying moms are perfect in the way they support their kids. Sometimes they go a little too far and enable their children. That's a mistake. But we know where it comes from. It comes from a mother's heart. Behold thy mother. Jesus honored her because in his greatest hour, his mom is standing there with him. We don't know from Scripture exactly what happened with Joseph, his stepfather. We know that Joseph was around in the early days of Jesus' ministry, however, because the people knew him as the carpenter's son. But we know that Mary was there. And what she believed, Jesus honored that for what she believed. Yes, my mother was a drunk. But you know, I never knew her to steal or cheat anybody. Never. My mother was never arrested for anything and thrown in jail. She could have been, but she wasn't. Did you know something? My mother believed in some things. She taught me some patriotism and love for country. See, there are things that she did believe that were right. I do remember those things. And by the grace of God, I'll never forget them. You say, well, Pastor Johnson, you know, you had a bad situation with your mom. I bet that messed up your life. It did, as long as I used it as an excuse. But when I stopped excusing my mistakes because of my mother's failures and honored her for what she did teach me that was right, did you know it's been well with me ever since? I don't know how much longer I'll live. I know if I would have thought I was going to live to 60, I'd have taken better care of myself. I know that. But the truth is, I don't know how long my life on this earth will be, but I'm going to tell you something this morning. Life's good. Mom's in heaven. You say, I'd like to say something to my mother, but she's not here anymore. She's gone. Did you know that if your mother knew Christ as her Savior, she's not gone? She's in heaven watching you now. And you can honor her by a life that's lived by what she taught you that's right. And even, listen now, regardless of the situation, it'll never be well with you until it's right with you and your mom. If you can't talk to her and you can't make it right or she won't allow it, here's what you do. You be right with her in your heart. And you honor her with the life that she has given you, that she taught you that is right. And do something with it. We preach to these women sometimes behind bars there in our jail ministry or in the prison ministries I've preached in before. Never knew a mom that didn't want her children to do better than she did. Never. Never met a mom who wanted her kids in jail with her. Never. Preached to fellows that did. One day in the service, this man raised his hand. He goes, "Hey, Rev, watch this." He goes, "See that guy over there? That's my son." He goes, "See that kid over there? That's my grandson. 3 generations behind bars." I said, "Are you bragging, man?" He goes, "I just think it's pretty cool." I said, "I think you're stupid." By the way, we're locked in a room with these guys with no guard. I just insulted 3 generations of criminals. But I'm sorry, that was stupid. There's nothing cool about them following you in a life of crime. Now, we love these men, and I don't want you to take that to mean anything wrong. I'm just simply saying, I never heard a mom say that. I wish my children could be in jail with me. Never. Not one time. They want us to exceed them. That's always a good mother. Now listen, we get our idea of what God is like as to his behavior and conduct, etc., from our father. And we get an idea of the heart of God from our mother. It says, and I'll just read you the verse quickly this morning. It says in Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 13, "As one whom his mother comforteth, so God says, will I comfort you." When someone first told me that God loved me, I didn't have a problem understanding it because I had a mother that loved me. And I understood that. "Behold, thy mother." Now, mom, look at me. So if we have not had a life that should be up to this point, don't you think it's time to knock it off? Go around the rest of your life saying, "Well, my life's not what it should be, and there it is." No, then what it was is one thing. What it is now up to you. So now, mom, now, start now and do the things you know God would have you to do. Let's go ahead and decide now we're going to be the kind of mother God wants us to be. He doesn't expect you to be perfect either, but he does want you to be the best mom that you can. Follow his word and do what the Bible says. You can set it out. The best way to fix a bad testimony is by replacing it with a good one. And it'll work. And then let's be certain you and I have a right relationship with our mothers. "Behold thy mother." Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.